Now, good morning to you, Nadine Pillay. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Father Emil.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Thank you, Father.
Are you going to celebrate down there where you are? Not really.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow.
I'll have to shift it down a day.
All right, Nadine, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and let's see what we're going to speak about. You want to speak this morning about raising children free from prejudice?
Yes, that's right. You know, this week was anti-racism week, and, you know, I think this is something that touches all of our lives. It's an important topic to discuss. It's important that we may become aware of this, and that we, in our own families, you know, try to make a difference. It's not about going out there into society trying to make a difference, but trying to start at home. Because to a certain extent, we all are touched by this. We are all touched by prejudice in some way.
And you're quite right. I think we really do have to start in our homes. I mean, that's the home is where it all begins, eh?
It is where it all begins, you know. If we're looking at an article that I read recently, that children as young as 3 years old are already influenced,
right,
you know, to start adopting prejudiced attitudes at 3 years old.
Sure.
And, you know, Father Emil, I can honestly say that I have experienced this. I have, in the town that I come from,
yes,
we experienced racism to a very, very, you know, strong point, I would say.
You're right.
And I've experienced at one point, where, you know, we had two, my dad pulled his vehicle up, and there was a little kid, maybe 4 years old, that started calling us names.
Yes.
And it was horrifying. It was horrifying purely because that child was a baby. And how did he know these things?
4 years old.
But he must have been 4 years old.
My goodness.
But he knew, you know, he knew these words.
Yes.
And he knew when to use them.
Right.
And that is alarming. And so that comes to the question of, you know, we speak about prejudice, but where is it all beginning? And unfortunately, it's not beginning very far away. It's beginning with us as parents. It's beginning with us as the adults, the grown-ups, the guardians, the caregivers. This is where prejudice is beginning.
You know, Nadine.
And so therefore we need to take responsibility for that.
You know, I've often wondered, at what stage, at what age do children begin to soak all these things up as like blotting paper? I think those first few years of a child's life, maybe we don't realize it sufficiently, but they're very, very, very absorbing of what's happening around them.
Absolutely, you know, the first 5 to 7 years of the child's life.
Yeah.
The child is really those are the formative years.
Right.
And I mean, they're not only growing physically.
Hmm.
You know, they're growing they're growing emotionally, they're growing morally.
Right.
Even.
Yeah.
They're absorbing values. And so what we put out there, that child is going to learn,
right?
And we cannot live in oblivion anymore. We cannot live where we think that we are doing things always the right way. When we are starting to produce children that are prejudiced, children that are going out into schools and cannot get along with other people that are different from them. In my family, itself. My daughter's father is colored. I am Indian. My sister is married to a white Afrikaans man. We both have children as a product of these multicultural interracial relationships.
Right.
I have a child who goes to school, and people and other children look at her and they want to know, what are you?
Yeah.
She comes home to say to me, you know, they want to know, what am I? So I'm no longer a person who is a beautiful melting pot of different cultures.
Right.
But I need to put myself into a category. And I think we need to really, really address this.
Yes. It's
because children are finding it stressful. And then they are also starting to develop defense mechanisms to this type of behavior and questions. And so I think it's really important.
Nadine, you know, when should one start trying to conscientize people about this sort of thing? While you were talking a moment ago, I thought, is this the sort of thing we should be doing in marriage preparation courses?
We should.
We should
be helping couples to deal with this. You know, when I think about my sister and the road, the journey they had to take, it was extremely stressful. And that when you're going to be married, you need to prepare yourself for these things. You know,
yes.
You need to prepare ourselves. And have at least a few skills to be able to also deal with our children. And so I think it starts, you know, it starts so early in life. It starts so early in life, and it should be a part of everything, because we live in a country that is so diverse. We live in an absolutely diverse country, and yet we are still resisting diversity after all these years.
Yes.
And I think it's about changing our perception to the beauty of diversity. You know, Father Emo, what we do is we say to our children, everybody is the same. You need to love everyone. They're the same. Everybody is not the same. And it is okay not to be the same. And I think that's a good starting point, where we start to have discussions that everybody is different. Different is okay. Different is beautiful. Different does not mean we need to be afraid of it,
right,
or stay away from it. So we become so uncomfortable having these type of conversations that we make these broad statements that we are the same. How boring would life be if we were the same? You know, our Creator created us to be complex and to be unique and to be individual. We tell our children at one point, you are unique, you are special, there is no one like you. And then we want to say that people are the same. And this is where prejudice is born.
And that's what we have to try and get across to people, and especially to our children.
Definitely to our children, because we are bringing forth another generation. We are bringing forth even a generation that had never even experienced, what it was like during the apartheid era. That they have never experienced that type of, segregation and prejudice and discrimination. Yet they are still carrying those burdens with them,
right,
and they are still acting out on that. So we have to stop that.
Right. It'll take a long time, I suppose. It's not that you can just like turn the page and everything's going to be different. I think a lot of these attitudes and prejudices, they're there, but they're going to take sometimes maybe a generation or two to work through.
It will take a long time. It will take a long time to change this type of thing, because, you know, we become conditioned in our ways. And a lot of the time, I think, you know, is that our words and our actions are not congruent. So we say one thing, we do another thing. And it's going to take some practice from us to be able to get that right.
Right.
Because that's how we model to our children. And that's how we model to the younger generation, an attitude of whether we discriminate or whether we truly respect other people. So I've always believed that children don't always listen to us, but they do watch our actions. They do watch, the way we behave around others.
So we need.
And,
Yeah. So we need to learn to love each other in our otherness, really. Eh?
Definitely.
We're all different, but we've got to learn to love one another, different as we are.
We have to. Mm. We have to because that is a reality. You know, that is a fact.
Right.
That we are different and you know, we can't always run away from different. I will tell you that we had a problem in our schools, in our community, where because we're such a small town, if one racial group started to enter into schools, another racial group would migrate to another school.
Mm-hmm.
And so it continued, and people were hopping around. And you know what? People are running out of options now. We have to integrate.
Yes.
We have to mix. We have to be able to get along with one another.
Mm.
And the only way our children will know how to appreciate other people and how to get along with people that are different from them is to be exposed to people of different cultures, of different races, of different backgrounds, and to be able to learn that these are people and I can embrace them.
Yes.
And we can all get along together.
You know, I think this is what you're touching on now is so vitally important. I think exposure is a wonderful learning tool. I mean, for me, in the days of apartheid, for example, to be exposed to the existence and the lives of people in the townships, in the squatter camps and so on, was a tremendous learning curve for me as an individual.
Definitely, because you get to have an experience firsthand, instead of listening to, horror stories that people pass on to you,
yes,
to scare you, to keep you away, to brainwash us, not to sort of embrace other people. We have to then take that. We have to model that. We have to model that respect. We have to watch what we say. Sometimes in anger, sometimes in frustration, we say things.
Yes.
And our children and those around us, they pick up on that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, and
you know, they pick up on that and unfortunately with kids, you know, when you say something wrong, they pick up on it and it sticks with them.
Yes, they take it on so quickly. They just blot
it. They do.
They just soak it in, you know. And I don't think we realize sufficiently how susceptible children are to pick up the bad habits and good habits of people. And we need to inculcate and try and get across to them rather the good habits and the appreciating people in their difference.
Definitely. And we have to just know that as we have this tremendous responsibility towards our families and towards society, because I think, you know, more often than not, we sit at home in front of our televisions watching the news and becoming so angry and becoming frustrated and becoming, you know, almost restless and shouting out for solutions.
Right, yes.
We are the solution.
That's
each
right.
one of us.
Yeah.
We can make a difference. We don't need to have the huge dialogues and discussions and watch them on TV. We need to start those in our families.
Mm.
We need to start with that in our parishes.
Mm. Absolutely.
We need to start with those type of things in our prayers, even and make it something that is relevant to each and every one of us in the country, not just to the leaders. We cannot leave this type of thing to our leadership to change.
Right.
It starts really right down with us. The family is a very powerful unit.
Right. Well,
and we have to make use of that.
Nadine, you've really opened up not a can of worms here, but you've opened up something so vitally important for us. Thank you for sharing with us today about the power of prejudice and how so easily we can just give this attitude of prejudice towards our children without realizing it. You've made us sensitive to this. Thank you very, very much for what you shared with us today.
Thank you, Father Emo. You know, we hope that with these little talks, you know, because they're short. We could go on the whole day with topics like this.
Absolutely.
They're short, but we want to, I really would like, you know, for this type of thing, if it makes us think twice,
yeah.
then you know, about our actions and our words,
right.
we are Christians.
Right.
And we are not Christians in name. We are Christians by the works that we do. And we need to bring this into our daily lives.
Right. Nadine, thank you very much indeed. And we'll talk again next week and have a wonderful weekend. But thanks for sharing with us about this important subject today.
Thank you so much, Father Emil.
Thank you very much indeed. That was Nadine.